This is the CBS World News Roundup. Death penalty system collapsing from its own mistakes.
What we found out was that the system consistently does not work.
EPA wants to know why gas prices are so high.
I think there's a lot of people making a lot of money for no good reason.
Grief in Damascus over the death of President Assad. Good morning, everybody. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News. Some startling statistics in a new study are fueling the intensifying debate over the death penalty system. Live with the story, here's CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Reviewing 4,500 murder trials, law professor James Liebman at Columbia University found serious errors in almost 7 out of 10 that led to a death sentence.
Illinois' error rate is 66%, slightly below the national average. Some states like Mississippi have over 90% error rate.
2 out of 3 appeals succeeded. Only 5% of the death sentences were carried out. But at the University of Utah, Professor Paul Cassell says this same study shows 99% of those convicted were the killers.
And no innocent person has been executed, at least so far as the study is claiming. So overall, I think the system is working well.
But a committee of the American Medical Association today considers calling for a moratorium on executions. Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Officials from the EPA and the Energy Department will put some pointed questions on higher and higher gasoline prices to oil company executives in Washington today. The view from Detroit from WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert.
A break in a gasoline pipeline is adding to the misery here in the Detroit area. Prices of gasoline up about a quarter a gallon in the past week to well over $2.
Well, it's disgusting. I think there's a lot of people making a lot of money for no good reason.
It's not unusual for commuters here in the Detroit area to drive over 50 miles a day. They say they can't do anything about that, but many say they're cutting back on discretionary driving. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
There's a new target for Justice Department trust busters, Visa and MasterCard. CBS News consultant Andrew Cohen tells us the trial that gets underway in Manhattan today could bring major changes in the way they operate.
The government's essential argument here is that both Visa and MasterCard are controlled by the same group of banks, that together they control a vast portion of the credit card market, and that they are in several ways stifling competition and innovation. And if the feds can prove all of that, we're likely to see a sea change, I think, in the credit card market.
Now, on the other hand, Cohen feels that proving antitrust violations against the credit card companies may be tougher than the case against Microsoft.
It's going to be very difficult for the government to convince the judge that there isn't enough competition in the credit card market. I mean, if the judge gets his own mail at home every day, he knows that there are dozens of solicitations a month from various companies looking to sign up new credit card users.
Alaska Airlines CEO Bill Ayer has acknowledged in a company memo that safety concerns have caused, quote, a number of customers to cancel their flights, not these at the San Francisco airport.
I think it's more dangerous to walk in downtown San Francisco than it is to fly on this airline.
Incidents happen. It's not the only airline that's had problems.
But a report in the Seattle Times prompted two flight attendants and at least four passengers to get off one Alaska Airlines jet before it took off. The newspaper quoted a veteran Alaskan pilot as saying he was worried about the safety of that particular aircraft. Air rage incidents pose a serious flight safety problem, according to a study by NASA. As reported in USA Today, the survey covered 152 cases, finding pilots either had to leave the cockpit or interrupt their flight routines in 40% of them. And in about a quarter of those cases, the pilot said the disturbance made them commit errors. No let up in public grief over the death of Syrian President Hafez Assad in advance of his funeral tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier tells us, though, that it's sometimes difficult to sort out the real emotion from government hype.
Students will scream of their loss into my microphone at one moment and then start giggling in the next. But they seem to feel towards the late President Assad like one does towards a strict father, a mixture of love and fear. But the students and the young army recruits do seem genuine in their excitement over his successor, son Bashar. He's close to their age, he's got a reputation for honesty, and he's already talked about reform, bringing people things like access to the internet, bringing their bustling and somewhat crumbling metropolis into the 21st century. Kimberly Dozier, CBS News, Damascus.
Back home again in Indiana, the Pacers spoiled the Lakers' chances for a four-game NBA Finals sweep with a 100-91 Game 3 victory. The Pacers' Jalen Rose says the win was no fluke.
We've just been intense. We're not a team that's going to be pushed around. We're not a team that's coming into this series like we're the JV team. We're coming in here to win it.
Indiana gets a chance to tie the series at 2 in Game 4, which is at home for them on Wednesday night. The New York City Police Union is calling a boycott of Bruce Springsteen's 10-night concert stand. Union Chief Patrick Lynch says it's because of the boss's new song, American Skin, 41 Shots.
But many, many fans in the New York City Police Department, they're dismayed that this is happening to them, that he's like turning on them at this point. And that's just wrong. So they're not going to be going to that concert. They won't be working there either.
41 shots is the number fired by police during the shooting death of an unarmed immigrant. The four officers mistook the man's wallet for a gun. Well, you're feeling well rested as the new work week begins? CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano has details of a new study showing that more and more people do not get a good night's sleep.
Sleeping disorders are being described as at epidemic levels, as a third of us are affected. But specialist Dr. Brian Margolis predicts the medical community is on the very verge of a full court press.
I think that sleep disorders will be the next cholesterol in the United States.
Decision Resources researcher Caroline Muller in London says there are few options.
Advocates must take the consequences of long-term sleep deprivation more seriously.
She says presently, sleeping disorders are characterized by considerable unmet needs in both diagnosis and treatment. Lou Maliano, CBS News, New York.
Yes, there was gunfire at the big reunion of the once feuding Hatfield and McCoy families in Pikeville, Kentucky this weekend. CBS News reporter Jim Krasula tells us, though, that it was all in fun.
One man asked how you could have a Hatfield and McCoy get-together and not have a wedding. So they had one, a true Appalachian shotgun wedding, complete with a gun salute.
By virtue of the authority vested in me as judge of the 30th Judicial Circuit, I now pronounce that they are husband and wife together. You may kiss the bride.
Two 22-year-olds, Michael Thompson and Ellis Dawson, now husband and wife.
Yeah.
Jim Krasula, CBS News, Matewan, West Virginia.
We got a lot of shotguns. Do we have another wedding?
The relevance of royalty gets a jolt in a British poll.
Public support for Britain's royal family has fallen to its lowest level in modern times, with only 44% of those polled now believing that the country would be worse off without the monarchy. And as royal expert Harold Brooks Baker says, they're taking the numbers seriously inside Buckingham Palace.
If the royal family is able to continue improving its image, I would think there's a chance that it will last for many centuries to come. But it could change overnight.
These latest poll numbers don't portray a picture of rebellion among the masses. Instead, they reflect the growing indifference to the whole royal concept. Tom Rivers, CBS News, London.
Some big changes in the way we get the news over the past 5 years. A new survey by the Pew Organization finds a third of the public goes online for it now, mostly young and better educated Americans and people seeking financial information. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.